question. You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. With your host, Ian the Dynamo Kelly. Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I will talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. This is Dynamo's Dozen. Here I am once again with the now, well, if yous weren't famous already, yous are definitely famous now. Soraya and Ricky Knight, how are you guys?
Hello.
Yeah. All good, thank you.
And Mickey. Mickey the dog is here too.
It's always important. Yeah.
We're sat here on the settee and he doesn't like us sitting together. So the dog is actually in the process of trying to rip my foot off to pull me away from my husband.
Does your dog do that? Our dog does the exact same thing. If we hug or anything like that, it gets super jealous. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's super easy. Well, he's been really, really sick. And I've been with him since December the 15th. Non-stop. I haven't left his side at all because he's got a real rare form of lupus. And, you know, every day is a blessing. So, you know, I tend to be at the dog's beck and call because I'm so worried about losing him. And he knows it, well, you know.
How old is
so
he?
So as far as he's concerned, he owns me.
And how old is he now?
My foot. He's two.
He's two. So he's what, 14 now, technically?
Yeah, technically.
In dog years. Yeah.
Honestly, look, if I disappear or go faint, it's because I'm being dragged off. All right, but I will participate as much as I can.
That's
will
okay.
Will you stop? Right. Okay.
So, no, that's okay. Listen, this is a dog friendly show. I'm a dog person, so.
I'm glad you are because. I'm going to be fighting the dog whilst trying to do this.
That's cool. So listen, guys, welcome back. Actually, I was just thinking there, officially now, you guys are, you guys have been on the show more than anybody.
Sorry, that's that again. He got his squeaky toy.
That's his way of trying to get on the show and communicate.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's his Morse code. So yeah, can you say that one again, please?
Yeah, Ricky. Now you's actually hold. Not only have you broke box office records, but you've now broke my show Dynamo's Dozens records too. Because yous are now on for the third time. So. You've been on the most times on my show, so thanks again for coming on.
Always welcome, bud. Always welcome.
Well, listen, the great thing about this is, when we spoke first, we were talking about some dark shit, kind of. And then when we spoke the second time, this film was kind of almost, it was near completion anyway. And this time, we're speaking after millions upon millions of grossed box office dollars and pounds with Fighting With My Family. So I mean, this is definitely a happier podcast for sure.
But to be honest, we can't believe the response of the movie. We were told from the early days that everyone had good hopes for it, but I think it's even gone above the good hope they had for it. I mean, I think even, you know, Steve Merchant, The Rock, would have been surprised at how the people took to it.
Yeah.
And we just sit here every day amazed and, you know, keep getting messages from friends, we're at the picture house in Coventry and it's packed, but it's also and it's packed, and it's like, you know, it's just amazing. You know, we can't believe it, to be
fair.
Well,
it's only been brought out in America and the UK at the moment. So Australia is the end of the month.
Europe
is staggered. I don't think it actually reaches is it Spain or Germany until June. So every month is a media storm for a different part of the world. So,
yeah,
you know, media storm in England is happening right now. The media storm in America started on the 14th of December. So that's in full flow.
Yeah.
But now it's the Australian one. And it's just, you know, we're kind of sat here in our little old council house, you know, kind of realizing that our life is actually, and it's not just an open book. I mean, you can Google us and find out all about us, but it's still cool that people have taken a couple of years out of our life, and it's so interesting to people around the world. And
yeah,
you know, to us, this is an everyday occurrence to us. And
well, yeah, I mean,
we're finding it quite weird, to be fair.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys, I mean, I've kind of been talking to you guys for well over a year now, and I mean, the response to like both previous interviews with Ricky on his own, and then with both of you guys on the last time. It's some of the most downloaded shows, and kind of going on the basis of what you just said there, Julie, you know, it's you guys don't bullshit, you know what I mean? And that's kind of what I guess attracts people to you. Do you know what I mean? People like honesty, and people like kind of people being an open book, you know, and that's definitely you two anyway.
Yeah, I think as we always said, we've always been up front. We don't hide from anything. We don't hide.
Yeah.
Our past, we don't hide anything. We're out there, we do what we do. And, you know, people seem to like the way we are. They say it's a bit like the Osbournes when they put on an American TV. They got the warts and all. And I think, you know, most of the critics in the movie said that's what they like, it's warts and all. We've not hid anything. It is a working class family from Norwich, England, who got the bad points, got the good points, for like Marmite, or people either like us or they hate us. But at the moment, it seems like we're on a ride of people who actually like us.
We always say, and I mean, like, we both stand by this. And we were talking to somebody we go to a cafe every morning, and sure. The guy that owns it, Bob, is very down to earth, and he's very similar to us. And, you know, I said to Bob that me and my husband really live by a motto that we'd rather offend you with the truth than disrespect you with a lie. So, I mean, at least that way you can make up your minds whether, you know, the sort of people you want to know. And if we're not, who gives a shit? Because then it doesn't matter, because we're not going to be involved in each other's lives anyway. So I'd rather tell someone how I feel than try and bullshit, to be fair.
Yeah. And I mean, that's actually a really good, that's a really good comparison. The Osbournes, I like that one, because it is a very, like, in Ireland here, we're not too dissimilar to you guys in the UK. It is a very, we are all kind of mostly working class people, you know what I mean? And it's generally a rule of thumb that, you know, some people change with a bit of fame or a bit of fortune or whatever it may be, even a bit of attention. Even some people will pretend to have the fame and the fortune when they get any sort of attention. But if you can kind of...
No, we're not into that.
Exactly.
I mean, people... The film is about us because we are who we are.
Yeah.
And, I know my family won't change because we're too down to earth for all of that. And I'm quite proud of that fact. I mean, look at our daughter.
Yeah.
Our daughter has reached the heights, the biggest goal in professional wrestling. She's reached the equivalent of the Oscars in wrestling. It's the, you know, she's had that many accolades and she's so well known.
Yeah.
But she's still down to earth council house kid.
Agreed.
You know, with the same sort of she's we've just had her over here while she sorted her visa out, and she's still the down to earth, normal, everyday girl. She's just blossom because she's now 26 years old. Yeah, she's now 26 years old. So she grew into a woman in America, and obviously she's going to change because she was a child and now she's a woman. So there's going to be natural changes that would have happened wherever she was in the world. And and you know, she's still our Raya. There's no difference really.
We're not motivated by money. We're motivated by the rest of business. We all love the rest of business. We're motivated by the fact that I'm getting older and I want to leave a legacy. It's not about money to me, you know.
Yeah.
We just want to be remembered, really.
Yeah, I want to be remembered. They go, well, you know, when I'm younger, my grandkids go, my granddad built this, and the people in wrestling business go, oh, Ricky Knight done this and Ricky Knight done that. That's all I really want in life. I'm money orientated, you know, just money. Everyone's got to have money. as we say, we always say it gives you a choice, but it doesn't give you nothing else, you know. So we're just happy to people recognise our work at last, really.
Well, we wouldn't move from the house, we'd probably just buy it, wouldn't we?
I was going to suggest that, like, just buy it.
Yeah, we'll probably just buy the house.
Well, the thing is, as I said, this is our house. We brought our kids up there. It's got so many memories here. Most of our pets are buried in the garden.
But that's the reason why I won't leave, because our greyhound is in the back garden. I'm not digging her up, and I will not leave her here. Well, so, you know.
Yeah, makes sense.
And we're stuck. We're stuck here because of our greyhound.
It makes sense. I mean, that's as good a reason as any, to be honest with you, as I said.
Well, I won't leave her. The other dogs we had cremated, so they're with us indoors. But I always regret the fact that we had Megan. We got Rowdy and we got Gaia the dragon out there. And I, anyone that knows me knows that I'm a bit OTT with animals and that they literally are my life. And I won't leave my babies. I mean, I don't care that they're gone, but you know, there's shrines out there to my animals, and I won't leave them to be dug up and turned over. And it's, you know, I'll be with them always. And I'm just a sloppy old bitch, really.
Well,
but don't kind of put that out too much, because it completely spoils my my image.
Well, it's going to be out there now. But listen, I know. Listen, Julia. In fairness, you would you are every bar. You're literally exactly like my better half as well, Rachel. She's the exact same. She's an animal person, true and true. Especially dogs. It's just
Well, an animal will take me in every mood. You know, whatever mood I'm in, and like I am an acquired taste, and the animals tend to, you know, they're always happy to see me, even if I'm in a bad mood or I'm, you know, I'm going through shit. The animals are always just happy to be around me, and you know, I find people are a bit two-faced, where an animal will never hide their emotions, and
that's a fact.
You know, I do. I love me animals, really.
Yeah, dog will love you unconditionally, always. You know,
but he's actually lying on me at the moment, having a big old cuddle, and and that's just Rick. The dog is no. I've got Mickey on my lap at the moment, just having a cuddle. Bless his heart.
You've got Mickey on your lap. People could take that whatever way they want over here in Ireland.
Oh, mate, they make up their own minds, so let them think what they want. No doubt, I would have,
big,
you know.
Big old border collie.
Oi. So listen, no, you mentioned your daughter there, Paige. I mean, just to go back on what you said about her going and being like a kid and growing into a woman in America, that is one tough lady, you know, with all the bullshit.
Oh god, yeah, like you wouldn't believe
all the bullshit that she's went through. And you know, I was always kind of on your side on this, Ricky, and Julie. I was talking to you both on this. I said I wouldn't ever bring up any bollocks on this show or hear any bollocks on this show, and still haven't. But I'll tell you one thing, from me to you guys, what a job you've done, because she came through every bit of shit that she possibly could, and look at her now, you know.
She's a survivor.
Yep.
She's not a victim. You know, everyone's got a story to tell, and our little girl has been through hell and back. You know, what we all do when we, you know, all of us have got a story to tell, every single member of the Knight family, but none of us are victims. None of us will let it stop us. And we use it to kind of help other people. Like, we've been through it. We understand. We truly, truly understand.
Well, that's the biggest thing is the idiots out there don't understand that our daughter's a victim.
Yes.
You know, and stuff like that, and lots of being issues.
Oh, they're still wisecracks, aren't they? You get positive thing, and then you get a little comment, and it's like, oh, grow up.
What these idiots don't get is she's a victim at a very young age.
Yeah.
And stuff, and, you know, that nearly destroyed our girl, you know. And,
yeah.
She had a very dark time. There's no secret, though. She hit as low as you could get, and we were very worried at one stage.
Of course,
Amy Winehouse, a break, wasn't we?
And the trolls on the internet used to think it was absolutely hilarious to send mum and dad stuff. Yeah. You know, I'd love for them to you know, well, I wouldn't actually, because that's quite disrespectful. I wouldn't like anybody to go through what our family as individually or as a group has gone through.
Yeah.
But, you know, just sometimes to have a taster. You know, and you know, they think it's so funny, and they you know, they're sitting there sniggering behind their keyboards. I know, let's send our mum and dad and our brothers and sisters like really bad stuff. Well, let's like, you know, say something that we've heard a million times but still hurts. But you know, they think they're just so clever. And to me, we've actually got to this stage now where we just roll our eyes, block and delete, and it's just like, you know, you're really pathetic. Yeah, so we just tend to ignore.
You know, my daughter can get over it and she can face it full on, and I still got my life and weekend, you know. Yeah.
Embrace it, learn from it.
You know, and to be honest, she's still got so many. She still gets 90-95% positive posts. She only gets a couple of years.
To be fair, her fan base, which is huge, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
And like at least 99.9% of them will back her, whatever, because they believe in her, and we love that. That you know, you'll get like 99 people saying what a wonderful, strong person she is, or how the family are, and then you get one arsehole that'll turn around and say something bad. And it's really hard because that's what you think about. And you think, well, why? Why say that? But you've got to take the rough with the smooth, I guess. And it's just how it is. There's some just sad people out there.
99 good.
Yeah, we stick to the positivity, don't we?
Yeah, I was going to say, the best, you know, the most positive outlook on that, to be honest with you, Ricky and Julia, is like, if there's only one in every fucking, you know, 10 or 20, whatever it may be, is that one person who actually doesn't have the balls to hide behind a real name or a real face to go with it, is it really worth your trouble?
To be fair, if they come up to us in the street and turn around and said stuff to us, I'd respect them for having the balls to do it, number one. I can't guarantee what my reaction will be, number two. But you know, when you actually get someone that comes up to your face and doesn't hide behind a keyboard and says it. I mean, for example, I went to a show in Liverpool, and it was an over 18 show. And I've literally three moves in to the girl, and some guy made a wisecrack. And I stopped what I'm doing, got out the ring, and I went, I suggest you really stop doing that. I really, really suggest you stop doing that. And to be fair to him, he apologized and it was just a laugh. Well, I'm not laughing, mate, and I'd appreciate it if you kept your opinions to yourself.
Yeah.
And I got back in the ring and I'm carrying on wrestling, and out the corner of my eye, I see a group of guys. There was about five or six of them, and they were like winding each other up, and I can actually see them going, you say it, no, you say it, no, you say it. Aww. And I'm thinking like, here we go. And they were doing it for about two or three minutes. Well, in the end, this guy literally said the worst thing possible. And I believe, I mean, I know it's out there because people videoed the moment. And I lost my temper, which is something, you know, irrelevant of what people think about me. I don't do that in the ring. I don't lose my temper in the ring. If I want to deal with something, we'll do it on the cobbles outside. I'll never, you know, go unprofessional.
Yeah.
But like literally my head left my shoulders, and I screamed at the referee, go and get me a tool, because I wanted to just splatter this bloke all over the place. And when the referee went backstage and never came back, and I looked around and I thought, no one's going to stop me doing what I'm going to do right now. Okay, I've been given permission. So I got out the ring and I'm still looking at this guy, and I've climbed over the barriers, and I've literally made a run for him. And before I got to him, a security guard rugby tackled him, or speared him, should I say, to the ground. Not one of his mates went to help him out. Not one. And by this time, head had gone. I was uncontrollable, and I was offering out the crowd and everything like that. And it's a shameful moment, but it was literally about a month after, you know, she was going through a real horrendous part in her life, and they thought it was really, really clever to say what they said.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't clever when I got over the barriers and decided that I would risk everything to shut them the fuck up. And they all scattered like, you know, little the cowards
bitches
that they actually are.
Bitches,
and that, yeah, but that gave me a very important lesson in, number one, never show your hand. Never do it. And I've not done it from that day to this. Everything, you know, has been the entertainment value.
Well, these people don't understand, you know, and it's so hard. You know, at that time, you know, she had all this stuff. She was anorexic, you know, she was skin and bones, which she hid from us. She cracked it one day, we had to take her hospital. You know, and her life was down the tubes as far as she's concerned.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, and it just shows the strength on the girl to fight her way back, and with all this criticism, all this Mickey taking, and even with the movie now, you know, you still get it. You watch, you see all the people have been to the movie, and they're so so nice and so great, and you get some idiot come on there and go about the other stuff, and you think, well, why do that? Why even bother?
You're really funny.
Exactly.
Put Helen back. Why not give her credit for that, you know? You know, like Tyson Fury, I met him the other day, and I give that man so much credit for what he's walked back from, you know?
He's a great guy,
He has so much negative stuff as well, but the guy walked around his head up high and reminded me so much of my daughter. They both went to hell and back. And yeah,
they
stand proud. I'll give them credit for that. It just crazes me that people are so negative in life. And all they want to do is ruin someone just because they wrestle. I can't understand. Where would you get all this hate from? Someone who wrestles or someone who sings or... Like an idiot who ran on the pitch at football yesterday. Where did you get the sort of hate from that you want to hit someone for doing entertainment or performing art?
From behind, you know.
It just don't come to me, you know. As I said, it's no secret. I must be an old villain, you know, but I just don't get the modern world.
Mainly violence.
You know what I mean?
Hashtag mainly violence.
Hashtag mainly violence. Do you know what's funny?
Or mate, that's following me around everywhere.
Well, do you know what? Guys, it's really funny because, well, I mean, it's not funny at all, but I mean, it's funny in the sense that the kind of idiots that we're talking to here, you remember a while back there, Ricky, I was in touch with you shortly after Tommy died. And it was kind of like, you know, instead of looking at Tommy Billington's legacy in what he done with the wrestling business, it's all this negative bullshit. And like I said, I'm really close with his family. And, you know, I've done a podcast, you know, based on what he left and what he means to his family, you know.
Great as ever.
Absolutely.
You've heard what they're doing in Japan for him, right?
No, I haven't heard.
Oh, my God, they're doing all the old school and are coming out at the Kirikorin Hall. And they're literally doing a show for him in memory of him, and all the old school Japanese fighters are coming out to pay their respects to, and they're calling him a god. And yet no one's done nothing over here. No one's done nothing in America.
It's crazy.
Yet the Japanese are honoring the man, and I think that is just amazing.
Me too. I mean, you know, look, at the end of the day, whatever about, I'm not going to go into, you know, WWE or anything like that. But I mean, for him to be kind of blackballed for, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, a lot of other guys have done, maybe worse, you know? Like, don't forget.
Yeah, definitely worse. Like,
Davey Boy was involved in it too, but Davey Boy is celebrated. Do you know what I mean? And so he should be. So he should be. But it's just this kind of stories that the likes of the Rougeaus and all have kind of made about Tommy have just gained steam. And I just looked at people commenting on the day that he died, and they're going, oh, well, he done this and he done that. And I just felt like saying, were you fucking there? Did you physically see it?
Oh, no.
You absolute numpty.
Everybody's got a story. Every single person.
Make mistakes in life. Yeah. We all made mistakes. Yeah. I made many mistakes when I was young.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no secret. I spent 8 years in jail before I was 25.
Yeah,
but I say to my wife, now, these days convert maybe the man I am now. You know, I wouldn't change anything. I know you might sound stupid, but I wouldn't change anything because I wouldn't be the man I am now without all the mistakes I made as a youngster or all the things that happened in my life and stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm giving back to these sort of lads. We're taking them up the streets to our gym. We're looking after disabled kids. And
this taught us not to judge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's taught us, the biggest thing is not to judge.
Not to judge people.
Yeah, you know, because like we've all done something in our life we all regret, you know.
For sure.
Well, to learn Tommy's legacy to me is criminal, because I worked the man at the end of his career, and I got on really well with him, you know what I mean? In fact, he's called me Swamp Donkey.
Swamp Donkey.
And to be honest, you know, he couldn't do what he'd done at the end, but I'll tell you something, that man was a genius. Even when he's crippled up in the end, we squad together, we'd have him coming over them top ropes, and I'd be begging Tommy, let him come, you know, come back, Tommy. They're not ready yet, kid. They're not ready. I thought I was going to get killed up. You know, that's long before the days of, you know, where people still believed it, you know.
And, I wish I'd met him.
And he was an amazing man. I've no wrong about Tommy, mate, because to me, he was the man, you know. And,
but going to, ever. With trolls, what we've learned to do, actually, and I know that I done this. There was one guy on Twitter, and he was giving me so much shit. Like, it was just relentless.
Isn't Twitter the worst? Twitter is just the fucking worst.
Oh, God. Yeah. But what I done was I wrote to him, and I went, here's your address, mate. And he was like, "What?" I said, "Give me your address. Everyone's got an opinion. I want to send you some merch." So what I did was I sent him every single T-shirt that I'd had made, yeah. And every bit of merchandise that I sell, I sent to him, and with a little card saying, "Hope you like it. Love, Soraya Knight." And you know, that boy now defends me more than anything on Twitter, and he even puts on there, "I trolled Soraya relentlessly," and you know, she never. In the beginning, she tried, you know, she was kind of defending herself a little bit. And then in the end, she just wrote to me, asked my address and sent me all of her merch.
Yeah.
And it's a story. It's now his story. And, you know, I just made a point of, look, mate, don't judge me. Here's a load of merch. Here's a load of free stuff. I know you're entitled to your opinion, but like, basically stop. You hurt people. Just stop. And like now it's his story that he trolled me and I sent him a load of merch. So, you know, I'm not saying that I'm going to do that to all the trolls, but it did make me realize that they're just people too, and they're just looking for their 15 minutes of fame, and that's sometimes all. It's better not to rise to it.
That's all it is. And I mean, and that is, look, when you go back to kind of reacting to something in a match, that can happen to anybody. That's a human reaction. And don't forget, you're defending your kin in that situation, you know what I mean? That's your...
Oh, it's horrendous what they said. To be fair, I went from Soraya Knight, the wrestler, to Julia Hamer, the mum.
Exactly.
And in my head, I was thinking, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you slag my daughter in a room full of people and think I'm just going to stand there? You know, I'm here to entertain you. I'm here. I've travelled all the way up to Liverpool to entertain you. And you dare say that to me? And I thought, well, it's an over 18 show. I've been given carte blanche to do what I want to do. So I'm just going to beat the shit out of you. And, you know, to be fair, the security guard was amazing.
Yeah.
He was amazing. And I mean, I don't even know who he is to this day, but you know, the guy was ejected, all his mates then, you know, stayed in the venue. So that boy was singled out. He had the bottle to say it, but he was then the one that was thrown out and none of his mates backed him.
And he got Bill Goldberg in the process, did he?
Yeah, well, the way that I look at it is, you know, people are just out for that reaction.
Yeah.
And I kick myself to this day, but, you know, I'm a mum first. I'm always a mum first. You slag my children to me, any one of them, yeah. Or you slag my grandchildren, the wrestling is out the window, and I'm going to get out the ring, and I'm going to kick the shit out of you. And that's just how it is. And if it means I get arrested, means I can't tour anymore, I'm defending my children. I'm a mum first. So be it.
So let that be a lesson to any of you wise heads out there that want to throw shit at Soraya, because trust me, she will fucking whoop you more than...
Oh no, I'll risk everything to protect my children, and you know, and my husband will, my kids will, but all of us. That's one thing, you know, you start on one, you start on us all. But when you're kind of alone in a situation, I mean, I've been in America and different things, and you get the wisecracks. Now I don't rise to it unless it's something that I really cannot overlook. If I can't overlook it and I try and I can't, then I'm going to act on it. And it's just how it is. You just got to remember I'm a mum.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm a mum, I'm a nana, I'm a great nana. I, you know, my family mean more to me than anything else in the world, and that includes my career.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so it should. And to be honest with you, I don't think you should be criticised on that or self-critical on that. I think you should be commended on that. So, 10
out. Well, there'll always be somebody that thinks that's wrong, but hey ho, I don't care. It's how I am. My family are the most important thing in the world to me. Like, the one most important thing in the world. And, you know, I'll fight to the death for them.
So it should be. Listen, let's get on to the movie for a little bit, actually. I recently seen it myself.
What do you think?
I fucking love it. I love it. I mean,
what a swear word it is. You must like it.
Well, do you know what I mean?
He's done three now, and I've done two, so he's just topped me.
Listen, you know, well, yeah, this is your second as well, but there'll be a third. I'll have to get you on your own as well, Soraya. That'll have to be one for you.
Oh, we'll have a competition so you can say fuck the most. Now we're equal.
Oh yeah, I think I'd lose that.
You absolutely would.
We should do it though, and I'll just get a little tick sheet every time.
Oh my god, yeah. No, yeah, people would tune in to see which one would win.
They definitely would. And don't get me wrong, we're definitely going to be over within the next few months as well to take you up on that offer. We'll be over for sure.
Absolutely.
For 100% sure. So we'll talk about that after the show.
So I'm going to interview you now. Did you cry?
I did a little bit.
Nah, I knew it. It wasn't down to onions being cut in the cinema or allergies or anything like that, what everyone else is saying. It was just a genuine bawling moment.
No, listen, I'm a former pro wrestler myself, as you know, and I have no fucking qualms about admitting that I cried.
Damn it, it's one up.
I'm a little bitch when it comes to these little. Maybe it's my age. I don't know.
I mean, to be honest, last time I watched it, I didn't. But the lump was in my throat, and I was going, "Don't cry, don't cry." You're ruining your makeup.
The airport scene that gets me every time. The scene at the airport.
Mate. Oh, in the credits at the end, isn't it?
Both times the airport scene, and in the credits because.
But we relive it, don't we?
Yeah, because you lived it. Yeah.
What did you think about the end credits? Because you actually see us as a family, and I think that's what kind of rounds it up. It's like, shit, it is a true story.
Well, because I know you guys and I know your guys' story, it was a little bit like kind of more, that's my excuse for crying. That's my excuse and I'm sticking to it. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, listen, I've talked to these guys. I know these guys. So I have to. It's funny because what happens is, I do have that lump in the throat, yeah, and I fight it with all my might. I fight it. And then Rachel looks at me and she goes, "You're crying, aren't you?" I'm like, "No, no, I'm not." And then she keeps looking at me and then I can't help it. It just comes out.
Oh. Well, to be honest, what gets us is the amount of applause, isn't it?
Well, when they clap. I like about the movie also is Zach comes out of it very, very good. And we know the Soraya story, but not many people knew the Zach story. And I think, you know, Zach comes out of it fantastic and we can now recognise the work Zach does and stuff. And he's getting a lot of credit for it. And I think, you know, they now see that all the family work hard. It's just not just one of us, but the whole family behind the scenes are doing their bit. You know, Roy and everyone, even the two grandsons now. So that's what I like about the movie. Most of all, it shows us a working family who work hard together. And even though, you know, Soraya made the big time, you know, Zach was left behind. He's made the big time in his own way, which is what I like. It's a good heartwarming story about Zach as well, even though he didn't make the big time.
Well, Zach's a hell of a worker. I've watched yeah. And this is actually something, this is true, and you have mentioned Zach a lot of times. Like, for example, I would recommend anybody that is into wrestling or just, you know, any fans out here, actually watch some of Zach's matches on YouTube. He's a hell of a worker. Really, really kind of, I guess, underrated might be fair to say, would it be?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of our guys, you know, because we're not sort of internet family firm, I think we do get looked over a bit. I mean, our grandsons are out there now with all these other promotions, like, you know, Ricky Knight Jr., he's making a name for himself out there. But
how old is he now? What age is he?
19.
19, yeah. So he's going to be running into the young Billingtons now at some point. Like, that's
we did meet them at the reunion, didn't we, and all that, when we went to the reunion and stuff. And
that's a hell of a future, isn't it, for your guys and them? Like, I mean...
Oh, yes. Yeah. As I said, with all this WWE UK now and stuff, and we've got our other grandson, PJ, as well, who's really coming through this all. But just going back to Zach, one of the great the thing about us Knights, none of us work the same, which is ridiculous, because there's 9 or 10 of us and we all work completely different styles, which is quite unbelievable really. But Zach is so knowledgeable of the business, you know. He's in the office with me and his ideas and his stuff and his way of talking to people is just phenomenal, you know. As I said, with the kids and the disabled, all our young lads in the family seem to have this bond with them. They seem to be able to get over with them and teach them the stuff. And that's the most pride I get at the moment. As I said, we've got autistic kids in our gym who are now sort of champions and stuff. And, well, you know, the blind kids, Zach trained, you know, that's probably the biggest things that ever we've done in our lives, to train somebody blind to wrestle. And it's just amazing, you know.
He's got a double amputee at the moment.
Yeah, well, funny enough, from Ireland, you know, when I got seen the movie, someone from Ireland, he's a double amputee, and he's seen about the blind kid, and he said, "Would you be able to help me?" And I said, "Look, we'll have discussions, see how it goes. I mean, if he's got prosthetic legs or whatever, we might be able to help him and stuff, yeah. But I say to anyone, decide we want to get a business. I've got a lad there who can only lay on a bed, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, what be in the business? I said, look, you know, we got commentary teams. Maybe you can commentate. There's room for everybody in the business, you know? But a lot of our lads have been told by other companies or other people they can't do it. You know, there's no room for them. But we're proving them all wrong. You know, this is what I say about money not meaning nothing to me. All these kids, and autistic kids and these disabled kids, we're actually getting into the business and giving them a chance and seeing their faces, you know? We've got one kid there, he had trouble with school. He's only had, was it 28% attendance, Jules, and all that? Since he's been wrestling, he's got 100% attendance, you know?
Well, I mean, and that's a great story, that. Yeah.
That's fantastic. As I was saying, you just see him. I mean, you know, the blind lad come back the other day and he surgery to give him a license to start back again. So that's great news. He's had to take 2 or 3 years out because obviously they want to protect him a bit, but they're quite happy for him to come back and do a few more matches. So he's well buzzing over that. You know, it's just great to see him back in the office the other day and talk to him and stuff. We didn't realise he'd become great famous through the movie.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the movie, like even looking at some of the critics, you know, and critics is always such a fucking horrible word when you start the sentence off with that. But just in terms of like some of the critic reviews on the movie, like Common Sense Media, this funny, heartfelt movie represents a huge step up for WWE Studios. Jack Logan from Empire says it's literally one of the most heartwarming films he's ever seen. What's surprising is how well all of this suplex to nuts biopics works. That's David Fear from Rolling Stone. I mean, they're big kind of, I'm not into, you know, critics or anything, but in terms of the magazines and whatnot that they're writing for, like, that's huge. I mean, here's one from the New York Times. The family that smacks down together stays together, or at least that's the idea of Fighting With My Family. A charmer about love and choreographed war. I mean, it kind of sums it up, doesn't it? It's fair.
It's amazing. So we're up to 94% at one time at Rotten Tomatoes, you know. I think you're still in the early 90s.
You're still there, bro. You're still there.
That's what I'm saying. So it's just amazing. You know, he's been like the biggest showman and stuff in the late 60s and stuff. So, you know, we as I said, when we started, we're just completely overawed by it all. It just doesn't seem right. You know?
7.8 on IGN as well, which is, I mean, that's huge because, you know, there's so many, like, you know, critics these days kind of just want to shit on everything. So,
of course, yeah, it's a world today. Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I expect some bit of shit all over us, but it hasn't happened.
Who gives a fuck? We got a movie made about us. Who gives a shit?
And do you know what?
I've gone past caring.
Do you know what, Soraya? We're calling in the ring, and you're at the helping me get me shit in now. Here's my comeback spot to that question. How did you guys feel? You know, obviously, Lena Headey from Game of Thrones, huge actor, just on Game of Thrones.
Oh, massive.
Played yourself.
That's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Pre-30.
That is really cool. And then
Nick Frost, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how do you think those guys portrayed you?
I said to, Nick Frost, I seen a film, it's like looking in a mirror, you know what I mean, in his characteristics and that, and he got me spot on, to be
fair. You're a bit better looking now, Ricky, you know.
Yeah. And, the thing that done me most is the way, on the American tour of promotion, the way he saw into my life and he see what was driving me on, and he actually got it spot on when he's saying about, you know, me being a family man is driven by wrestling and my family and not by money. And he must have sit down and really studied me. And I was so happy that he actually got what he was trying to do, and he done it brilliantly, I thought. Yeah. And Lena was absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, she studied Jules so much and stuff. It was brilliant. And I thought,
she's done cool, actually.
And the two young actors are brilliant. I thought, you know,
Jack Loudon and Florence Pugh.
They've done amazing. You know, it's just fantastic. So, yeah, we couldn't ask for a better cast. You know, it was I wanted Ray Winston to play me in the first place, but you know, I think Nick nailed it, to be honest with you.
Who did you want to play for?
I wanted Ray Winston in the first place.
Yeah, you told me that before.
Nick, you know, he's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
I remember you told me actually on the first show, yeah, that you wanted Ray Winston to play, but that was only because Brad Pitt wasn't available. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. But you know, after seeing Nick, you know, I have to bow to him because mate, his portrayal is absolutely brilliant, and his comedy timing is just amazing. You know, it's just
he's a very funny man, isn't he? Very funny man.
Well, look, the biggest compliment could pay the cast is we sat as a family, and I forgot I was watching a film about me. You know, we got into it so much ourselves. You know, and you forget this is about my family. Yeah. I'm laughing at Nick. I'm feeling like I'm getting upset at the scenes I'm supposed to, and all this. And me and Julia come out there and go, it's amazing. Them guys just took us through a thing where we actually believed the movie ourselves. Where it's about us, but we were part of it. We was watching this movie, thinking, did you make it in the end? And all this, you know, they got us to that point. And that is kudos to the actors because they were superb, you know.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. Like the
It is crazy. Yeah. Isn't it? Julia sat there talking about it.
We knew what's happening. It's our lives. Yeah? We were still wrapped into it. And it was like, Well, now what? Now what's
going to happen? I was going to keep this kind of nice line for the end of the show, but, like, you guys talked about legacy and, you know, it's not about money, it's about legacy. I mean, that's legacy right there, man. That's it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that movie's always going to be around for everyone to see, you know, so...
Ever. Forever.
That's the biggest thing, yeah. You know, even Christmas, we come up with Raya's old movie. You know, Janice at home at Christmas, we popped in, see our daughter in a movie. You know, these are things they can never take away from you. They can have a go at you, they can slag you, they can bring you down. But, you know, they will never take away what my daughter's done or what we're doing now. Nothing can never take that out of history. So, we just got to be happy in life and... Yeah, I'm just happy in life and doing what we're doing. I go up every morning. I love going to work and I love still being in the ring. And I love entertaining people. So I think I'm blessed, you know. I'm never going to be a millionaire, but I'm blessed. You're happy. I'm blessed what we do. We've got a great marriage and, you know, and stuff. And, you know, we've got lots of things people haven't had. We've got £1 million. So, you know, that's how I look at life. You know, we pay our bills and we pay, you know, for overheads. I'm happy with that. You know, I'm not to be a multimillionaire. Never have been,
and will never change. Thank fuck for that.
You're beating me now, Julia. You're beating me.
Mate, I've got to say one ahead.
You're one ahead. Yeah. Fuck's sakes.
Oh, damn it! I was ahead of you as well, you bastard. Not anymore, though, huh?
That's only a load of bollocks, anyway. No?
Damn you!
You see, that's the Irish one, actually, the bollocks. I know you guys say it as well, but it's just since Conor McGregor has come onto the scene, people think that bollocks is his word, you know? But that's just literally...
Yeah. To be honest, that's Roy's word. Yeah. Load of bollocks.
Load of bollocks.
In Norwich, it sounds weird, but cunt is a word in Norwich. That's a term of endearment in Norwich. All over the world, everyone else would go, the C word. But in Norwich, you go, all right, you cunt. And that's actually a friendly meeting in Norwich.
Yes, of course you're a cunt. You don't have to worry about it. It means you're okay.
That's the same over here, man. It's the same over here. I remember a friend of mine was over at a West Ham game. Jesus, must have been 10 years back, and it was his first time over in London. And he said he was sitting in the stands, and he heard someone was mouthing off anyway, and he goes, "Shop, you can't." And the other lad goes, "Who are you calling cunt? Cunt? You cunt." It's just like...
That's Norwich, the same as that.
It's no different, is it?
Oh, I love it. I swear to God. Because, I mean, I went over to the UK at an early age, like 17, and it was just the exact same thing. Over with Andre Baker, and it was just the exact same thing. "You're right, you little Irish cunt." It was just great. I loved it.
But it's actually my favourite word, and now that I've heard you say it, cunt, 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 cunt. Beat that, you cunt.
You're two ahead now, so...
I am absolutely ahead now.
I have too much respect to call you that, Julia.
No, you can absolutely call it me, because it means that we're okay.
Oh, no, I'm not that kind of cunt, though, do you know?
As
he's going to catch up.
Subtle.
Yeah, very subtle, that one.
Like it. No, and I mean, guys, it's awesome because, like, just looking at it, think about this, okay? A story and a film about your family has already grossed over $21 million. I mean,
nosy bastards.
I know, right? Jesus Christ, I gotta get me a family soon.
I don't think there'll ever be another one like ours. I think we're definitely a one-off.
I don't think so. And listen, and that's the great thing about it. That's the most unique thing about it. And like, as I said, I you know, implore people to go and watch this film, regardless of whether they like wrestling or not. I mean, if they're listening to this podcast...
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's my point, though. You, as I said, it's like the Rocky films. You know, that's like boxing, yeah. Like the Rocky film.
Yeah.
It's and that's the sort of feedback we're getting from all the people in Norwich, you know. They've been to see it. They said, it's just a great film. You don't even have to like the wrestling to like the film.
It's,
yeah, it could have been about golf, could have been about snooker. Could have been
about it wasn't all about wrestling, was it?
No, it's actually a good family story and people going about their everyday lives and little old Norwich and someone becomes a star. And
they don't say cunt once.
No, they don't say cunt once, no. No.
Nice one. No, they were only allowed three swear words in the whole thing. So it was dick me dead and bury me pregnant was said three times. So that was their limit.
And the funny thing about it is, like, the way I look at it is from two perspectives, okay? So if you've got, like, if you're not a wrestling fan, you'll look at it just as a really good story. The way a wrestling match should be, do you know what I mean? And you'll look at it like a wrestling match. I always look at it from that point of view. And you look at it as a wrestling match and say, Jesus, this is a really good story. But then if you are a wrestling fan and you look at it as a wrestling film, it's probably the best wrestling film ever made. Better than The Wrestler itself.
Oh, thanks, mate.
No, 100%. 100%. Because I was a big...
That's weird to hear that, though.
Yeah, because that's the perspective I got from it. Like, because I was a big fan of Mickey Rourke, one of my favourite actors, and I thought he'd done a hell of a job. He'd done a hell of a job, but... The film itself was too based on the wrestling itself and trying to, you know, it was the Jake the Snake type story that they were trying to go for.
Yeah.
Whereas I think this is the epitome of a wrestling film, following a dream and the struggles that it takes to get to the goal, you know?
It's believing in yourself.
Another one I really liked, though, years ago was the Norfolk, was it the California Dolls?
Yeah, all
that?
The marbles.
All the marbles?
Yes.
That was, to me, like, you know, the rotten pay, you know, the old painkillers to keep you going, ringing up promoters, begging for work. That just reminded me in my early days, you know.
I've told you a lie. I don't know. I was thinking of the other film, the one with Sylvester Stallone.
Now, this is Columbo. Peter Falk plays the lead in it.
What's it called?
It's called, in England, it was called California Dolls, or it comes under All the Marbles in America. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you see it, mate. It's brilliant. Absolutely
California
brilliant.
Dolls are All the Marbles, yeah?
All the Marbles. It's got Peter Falk is the star. Columbo.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because
I was... That's 2 hours doing that you'll love. I mean, it's one of the best... Wrestling films, I think.
I'm going to watch that.
I love it. I'm a bit of a mark for that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's really good.
Well, listen, if you guys are telling me.
The downside of wrestling, you ain't like the glitz and glamour, it's the shit side we've all been through.
The one that we know.
The long road trips, the poxy pay, getting knocked by promoters, and this sort of stuff. It covers a lot.
And it's about a female tag team.
It's about a female tag team, called the California Dolls.
It kind of shows that, you know, how women were perceived in that era as well. Like, you're a wrestler. Oh, mud, you know, so there was the sexual undertones of it all where women were desperate just to be recognised as fighters. So it tells a story in its own right.
I'll tell you, it's a brilliant film. We've not seen it. It's well worth watching, buddy, I promise you.
I'm actually going to check that out after this after this show.
Yeah, don't blame me, mate. It's well worth watching. Come back to me, tell me how you think of it. Yeah?
I'll actually text you later on tonight once I watch it. I'll let you know. Yeah. Here's a question for you. I'm interested to know, especially you, Juliet. What did you think of that Glow on Netflix?
I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
All my friends are in it.
That's why I was wondering. Yeah.
Sorry?
That's why I was kind of interested to hear what you may have thought about it, yeah.
I mean, I should watch it, to be fair, because most of the girls that are in that movie would definitely have watched mine, and I'm actually feeling a bit shitty right now that I haven't supported the girls.
I'm an awful cunt for bringing that up.
Yeah, well, to be fair, like anything that depicts female wrestling in a good light, it works for me. And the girls are getting work, they're, you know, like regular work, and people are taking it seriously. And everyone I've spoken to has told me, like, what is the matter with you? Why have you not watched it? So it is something you watch all the marbles, and I'll watch Glow.
That sounds good to
me. And then we'll both do a review of it.
That sounds good to me, actually. Yeah. And before we do go, what do you think of the girls now at the moment, especially Becky, you know, who we've talked about before on the show?
Well,
she's cleaning up.
I think years ago we put her as a star, many years ago, didn't we? Before she got that bad injury, she come and worked with us a couple of times. In fact, the night after she got a bad injury, if I remember, to her, years ago, and she had to come out of the game, and she went ear holstering. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Well, before the night, the day after she done your injury, she come and worked for us, didn't she? And we didn't realise how serious it was at the time, but we always thought she was going to be a star because she's like Raz. She had this, you know, you have this glow where you make star written all over them, you know, and you know, when she retired that time because of her injuries, What a waste of talent, you know. But then she came back, and now she's really smashing, isn't she? She is the main girl now, it seems. So good luck to her, we say. She's a lovely girl. We loved her to pieces. And, you know, because I always remember, we've had a lot of people stay around her over the years, like wrestlers and that, you know. And she stayed around our home, and the next morning she went out, she got Julia a card, and she got a present, and she just was staying here. And I thought, that's lovely. No one's ever done that before, you know. So, you know, she's always been a different girl, different class, and I'm just happy to see her getting success because she's a lovely girl. And I'll tell you what, television don't do her good for her looks either, because she's more beautiful off television than she is on. You know, she's just 100%. A lovely girl.
Yeah.
I love it. TV does her justice, how beautiful she really is, but she's a lovely girl, and we all support her, and it's great to see her doing well.
Yeah, because I know she's definitely good friends with Soraya, so like it's good to it's good to see.
I mean, they done a little gig in Shima, didn't they? It was Julia, Soraya, and Becky. She was your manager then, wasn't she? Because you still injured, weren't you, in Shima and that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you got a lot of heat with that lot, didn't you? So,
well, we just went out there and had a laugh. Yeah, not me, because I was doing the mean queen. But the thing is with Becky is that she's just a genuinely lovely person. Yes. And, you know, it just so happens that she's stunningly beautiful and an absolutely fucking amazing wrestler. Yeah. You know, what you see on the TV isn't a third of what that girl can actually do. And
It's crazy, yeah.
Oh, God, the girl, if she got let loose what she can really do, my God, she would set the world.
That's the only trouble with the WWE. I mean, they don't let the girls, still don't let the girls off the lead, you know, I mean, like, Soraya was watered down so much in the end, I didn't watch, you know, because we know the girls could do far much more, you know. I mean, Soraya could do Roy's top rope elbow to perfection, but she weren't allowed to do stuff like that and all that. It's just like,
they just protect the girls.
Not only protect them, but it's frustrating when you know what these girls can do, and I understand the protection bit, but sometimes you got to just let them go, you know, and I think they've proved it lately. They're giving girls these cage matches that now, and they're performing as good as the blokes, you know, and on lots of cages, better than the blokes, you know.
I agree.
I think a lot of it is the lads are afraid to be outshone, you know. I know when Bellatrix goes on the same weekend as us, sometimes their shows, they get more heat than us because the girls really, you know, they really get stuck into each other and stuff, and I love to see it because, as I said, When I start promoting, there's hardly any girls wrestling. That's what it is. You and Julie Starr, when anyone's left on the circuit.
Klondike Kate,
we got to come back again and stuff. But the scene was dead, and to see where it is now, it's just amazing. We've always supported the girls scene, always will, because I think, you know, the girls bring something to the shows, you know, and the lads, like, even when we were filming years ago, when we'd done some movies, and they go, the girls look so much tougher than the boys. Why is that? You know, and even when we were filming in the old days. So, yeah, the girls got a lot to offer. I'm just glad now they're getting their time to shine. They're getting what they deserve. It's fantastic in my book.
I agree. And listen, guys, I'm so happy, so proud of you, actually, and your success now. I'm so
thanks,
happy.
Dad.
It really, I know, I feel, I sound like a dad. No, but I mean, all joking aside, it couldn't have happened to a nicer family, and I mean that.
So you guys like yourself, you know. Yeah. And you know, for those who supported us even in the crap time, you know, it's easy for people to come and see us now and things going right. But you always supported us even when things weren't right, when I thought it was going through things. So, you know, we'll always be grateful for that too, mate. So, you know, it's any time you need anything, you must just let us know. But
I really appreciate that, man. I really appreciate that. And Julia, I'm actually going to give you 5 seconds to say as many curse words as you possibly can.
Right, I leave it.
Right, you fucking wanking, tossing, bitching, bastarding, I don't know, cunting. Fuck. You're done. I've done you.
And that's to every single person listening to this show, not directed towards me. So.
No, it's directed towards you, because if not, there's suits coming in, you know. So.
I'll take the heat. It's okay. Yeah, you won.
No, I totally won that one. And, definitely, you know, apologise to people that don't like swearing, but fuck yeah.
Well, if they don't like it, they should switch off now, which is probably towards the end of the show.
Swearing is always, it is part of me, and it is how I am. And, you know, there are people that don't like it, but, you know, I've just got to this stage where people are liking us now that hated us before, and it's a false world. So, yep. You know, if you don't like the fact that I swear, then switch off.
Damn straight. Well, listen, on that, I'm going to implore every single guy and girl listening to this to get their asses out, watch Fighting With My Family. It's still pretty new over here in Ireland at the moment. It's doing absolutely huge.
Is that
numbers.
How long has it been out?
Probably about 2 weeks, and it's still doing huge it's numbers.
It's oh, on, wow.
It's on pretty much every...
It's still surreal to me, mate. It's still very surreal to me.
Yeah, oh no, well that's it. Like, I'm talking to you now, it's I can understand that, you know what I mean? It was kind of like surreal for me, kind of going, whoa, Jesus, I'm going to have these guys on the show next week. This is pretty cool.
No, it's a bit of a fuck, eh?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome, to be honest with you. And like I said, I do mean it, and I appreciate the kind words, Ricky. But
you're
definitely...
welcome, mate. It's true. We only deserve hot nights. We tell the truth.
Yeah.
And I said, there's a few did stick by us through thick and thin. And that's, you know, they're the people that we're really grateful to. You know,
so. Always will
be.
Absolutely. Well, listen, guys, I hope you have a wonderful week, and long may the success of this film continue. And
I'm hoping Ricky will make my whole week.
He will make
Oh, you got there in the end.
I know exactly.
Have what? California Dolls.
California Dolls is happening. California Dolls.
Yeah, it's got to be the one.
This is always going to be the one. This is always going to be the one.
Hey. If you're like me and you're a fan of your wrestling merch and your MMA merch and your boxing merch, there's only one place I go, and that is Wrestling Mania. That's right. Wrestling Mania is located at the top floor of Dublin St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. It's your one-stop shop for all your wrestling, MMA and boxing needs. It's Ireland's only dedicated pro wrestling shop and carries all the latest wrestling, MMA and boxing merch, including brands like WWE, and UFC and Ring of Honor, and much, much more. And hey, if they don't have it in there, they can get it. If you don't see what you want and you know something that you do want, well, the guys in the shop can get it in for you. And get this, if you can't make it into the shop, they'll send it to you. That's right, they will actually deliver it to your house. So if you want your wrestling, MMA, or boxing hookup, go to Wrestling Mania. Located once again at the top floor of Dublin St. Stephen's Green Shopping Center. Go check them out on Facebook. So it's Wrestling Mania on Facebook. You'll be able to drop them a mail. Very responsive, very appreciative, and also very welcoming and accommodating. Wrestling Mania for all your wrestling, MMA, and boxing needs. Go right now.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.